888-718-7777. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
The weather this afternoon, as you probably can see if you looked out your window, it's rain, high near 42, windy with a northeast wind 25 to 28 miles an hour with gusts as high as 47 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 90%, and new precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half inch possible. Tonight, rain, low around 36, windy with a northeast wind 17 to 26 miles an hour with gusts as high as 43 miles an hour. And the chance of precipitation is 100%. And with their new amounts between three quarters and an inch as possible. Tuesday, rain likely, mainly before 10 a.m., then cloudy with a high near 39, north winds 13 to 16 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. And the new amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 29, northwest winds 10 to 14 miles an hour. Wednesday is supposed to be sunny with a high near 48, northwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming light and variable in the afternoon. And Wednesday night is a slight chance of showers after midnight, and it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 36, and a chance of precipitation is 20%.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, makes the commute a lot easier. And we use our own phones, etc. And what we try to do is help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or live next door to someone or work with someone who has a mental health issue, or they themselves have a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We teach classes. There's a 12-week family-to-family class, which we try to teach to families who have someone, like I said, either they know or related to. And they do it. You know, we try to get that person to realize more of what the ill person is going through. And we have, you know, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. And we talk about meds, side effects, etc. And we also run support groups. And we also have what they call a basics class for families who have young children, 17 and under, who may have ADHD or some kind of issues. Everything we do is free. There is no charge. All the material, everything is free of charge. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have somebody manning the phone 24/7, but we do check it once a day, and we guarantee we'll get back to you as soon as possible. We are very fortunate to have with us today two ladies from Mainstream, and we'll let them talk about Mainstream in a minute, what it is, and so on and so forth. But we have Louisa Bartok.
Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And she is for, what did I say, marketing and communications, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And we also have Gina Taylor, who is the operations director and director of therapies.
Correct.
I'm so glad you guys could find the time to come on the show. Real short story, real quick. I had our plumber come a couple weeks ago, and we've had our plumber for 35 plus years. He redid all of stuff in her, and he says, "Oh, you're having Mainstream on your radio show, huh?" And I says, "How do you know?" He says, "My daughter works there." You know? I says, "Really?" He says, "Yeah."
Yeah.
You know? And so that's how he knew about it. So I says, "Well, small world, man." You know? But Tom has been, you know, our plumber for, well, like I said, more years than we care. Either one of us care to remember, he or us, you know. But but it was kind of, you know, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And all right, what exactly is Mainstream and what do they do?
So Mainstream is a nonprofit organization. That's the fundamental aspect, is that we are fundraising for the services that we provide. And what do we do is the fun part, because we have a variety of programs and services for people with special needs, people who have had medical challenges, people who have social emotional challenges, and they can find something that will fit their needs at Mainstream.
And how did it get started?
We were started in 1972. Our founder is Octavia Brown. She actually started the program in her backyard when it was still kind of a surprise that people with disabilities were able to ride horses. And the program has just grown exponentially since then. In 2001, we moved to our Oldwick location, which is where we are now. And in 2012, we changed our name to Mainstream to reflect our growing programs and services.
Maine as M-A-N-E.
M-A-N-E,
right?
The horse is Maine.
Right, there you go. And who all do you help? I mean, you know, you said people with, you know, issues and so on and so forth, and disabilities, and both mental and physical and
social, emotional, medical, emotional. Educational. So we start with children basically as young as 2 years old in our therapy program. They might receive occupational therapy, physical therapy, or speech-language therapy with us. We have a variety of people who utilize our counseling services, so that might be teenagers with substance abuse challenges or our veterans program. And then, you know, our young adults might have a developmental disability that want to participate in a sport, and horseback riding is really the thing for them. We serve adults who have maybe been impacted by cancer, and they participate in our Horses for Healing program. And we've had, you know, people as old as World War II veterans who come and ride with the Take the Reins program.
Wow. Yeah. And, Louisa, what do you basically do through marketing and communications? Other than come on the radio show and communicate, you know.
Well, I travel throughout the county, going to different resource fairs. There's special needs resource fairs and you know, town festivals. I take care of the website, and I also do the social media and all the marketing materials.
So you do all that social media that we were talking about prior to the show, where.
That's right.
Yeah, that's stuff that I don't have any knowledge of. We met at the expo, right? You said,
exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
At the hospital.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, because there was a lot of people there of various things that I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. In fact, one's coming on next week. Who was there? And it, you know, hunting for hungry. It was and. They, you know, I had never heard of them, you know, or what they did or so on. Just like I had never heard of you guys, which doesn't mean that, you know, you're not out there all over, but it's just, you know, in my little world that, you know. What is adaptive riding?
So adaptive riding is horseback riding that has been adapted to someone's special needs. So it could be that they have a learning challenge and they need the riding instructor to adapt the way that they're teaching the lesson. It could be that they have a physical challenge such as an amputation, or they might have cerebral palsy and they need the riding instructor to adapt the equipment that they're using. So the focus is on learning riding skills and to become as independent as possible, but it's been adapted to whatever their need might be.
Okay. Now I have to ask, how did you guys get involved in all this? I mean, you know, it's not something you, a little kiddo, I want to, you know, other than ride a horse, but, you know, seriously, how did...
I started with the Special Olympics when I was a 4-H kid myself.
Okay.
So we would loan our ponies out a couple times a year to the Special Olympics, and we got involved with the kids with special needs that way. And I actually have followed through on that since, you know, I was a 4-H kid. My undergraduate degree is in equine studies. And I knew that I would be going into this industry And then followed up with an occupational therapy degree so I could provide therapy. But the horse aspect was always a really strong interest of mine.
I was born in Brooklyn. We didn't have too many horses. Okay. Yeah. Louisa, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I actually was a volunteer coordinator and marketing person for a local Habitat for Humanity affiliate.
Okay.
And then, you know, moved on from there, and I've always seen the mainstream sign saying they wanted volunteers, and I grew up on a farm with horses. So they just happened to be looking for a volunteer coordinator assistant. So perfect timing, that's what I always say.
It really, you know, sometimes, you know, when one door closes, another opens, you know, mm-hmm. and or so the saying goes.
Yeah.
I still have a question. Why use a horse for therapy?
People are naturally drawn to interact with horses for a variety of different reasons. Sometimes it's the fact that the horse is so much larger than us and represents power and strength and maybe some things that we don't see in ourselves and we see in the horse. Other times it's the fact that the horse is more like a big cuddly dog, and maybe we have fond memories as a child of interacting, you know, with either dogs or animals that we were exposed to, and there's that natural affinity of people to interact with animals. So depending on which place a person is coming from, they're drawn to reach out to the horse. So it makes our job as therapists a lot easier if our clients are already engaged in the process. So if the mental health counselor is working with someone, if the person is already engaged with the horse, the door is already open. If I'm, as an occupational therapist, if I'm working with a small child and they're engaged with the horse, the door is already open. It makes my job so much easier because they're already primed to want to experience change, to want to engage and interact.
Hmm. Do you find that some people are scared when they get there about the horses?
They can be. They can
and
be.
How do you overcome that?
A lot of times, if we're...
Like me.
Right, yes. If we're talking about adults, we let the horses do the work because the horses are going to open that door to someone who's a little bit afraid through their interactions with the person. They might take a step back, or if you're standing beside their stall, they might reach out and nudge you. And usually the person who's afraid will turn to one of the staff members and say, "Why did they do that? What did that mean?" And that's our opportunity then to step in and kind of give an explanation. Say, "They were trying to get your attention. You know, they wanted you to know that they're here. Why don't you say hi to them?" And you can break that barrier a little bit of somebody being afraid. And we explain to people, your fear can be useful. Your fear may have kept you alive in situations where you needed to have fear. And horses are big and strong. And sometimes it's good to be afraid around the horses. Sometimes you need to get yourself out of the way. So don't be afraid of your fear. Let's work with your fear so we can use it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you find that... this is just off the top of my head. Do you find that people that have various illnesses, whether it be mental or physical or, you know, whatever, emotional, do you find that they react different to the horses?
Different than the rest
people?
Of the population?
Say like you guys, mm-hmm. okay, who
no.
are used to the horses and, you know what I'm saying? It's like...
I think a person who's never been around a horse, whether they have a challenge or not, will tend to react the same way. A person who has a disability who's been around horses will have the same comfort level. So we see people who, you know, rode as a child and then maybe develop MS later on in their life. And they're just as comfortable as we are around the horses. And then you take someone who, you know, has never been around a horse before, regardless of whether they have a challenge or not, they'll have some reservations or they'll be really curious. So I think the wide range spans all people, that from real curiosity and wanting to get in there and touch and spend time with the horses to a little bit reserved and maybe not so sure about it.
Yeah, that's me. Do you have something you want to say? Go ahead.
Why are horses effective in therapy? You mentioned something about opening the door, but what about the next step?
The partnership between the licensed health professional and the horse is that special sweet spot. The therapist brings to the table their clinical skills and understanding which ways the horse can be brought in as a partner. And the horse lends its, whether it's its emotional state to somebody who's maybe having trouble staying calm or, you know, is experiencing a stressful reaction, or its motor state, its physical attributes to someone who has a physical challenge. So horses, we say, have a typically developing nervous system. They are able to respond to danger. They are able to calm themselves back down. They're able to take in their environment. They're able to move in a smooth and coordinated fashion. And those are the exact things that a lot of the people who come to mainstream can't do or don't do yet. So it's the therapist choosing the best horse that has the quality that that person hasn't yet developed in themselves, and then letting the horse help the person and lead the person to develop that skill, whether it's a motor skill like walking or whether it's a social emotional skill like being in control of your fear.
It's interesting.
So a motor skill like walking, how would it help someone who needs to learn how to walk or can't walk?
So the way the horse moves when a person is sitting on top of the horse is going to provide a repetitive movement pattern through the way that the horse walks. So it's going to help the person being able to shift their weight side to side, which might be a challenge for somebody who has a hemiplegia. It's going to help them be able to move their pelvis through space, which could be something that someone who's had a stroke has had a problem with. It's going to help core strength, which, you know, a lot of children with special needs and developmental disabilities don't have adequate strength to hold themselves up while they're trying to take a step. So each of those things the horse can impart to the person, and then the therapist can help work that together to take that into taking steps on the ground.
So obviously the horses have to be very carefully selected and trained.
They do.
Tell us
they
a little about that.
It's an extensive process. We get a lot of phone calls from people in the community who reach out to us and say, I have a horse I think I would like to donate to you. I think my horse would be a good match. And we conduct a phone interview at that time based on what our needs are in our herd and what their horse might have to offer for us. So age, size, gender of the horse, those are the basic things, but also what training the horse has had previously. For our resources, we don't have the time to train a horse from the ground up. We need a horse that's well-trained and has been around people and understands basic commands. And then we'll take the specialized training when the horse comes in on trial. So they'll come in generally on a 30-day trial period to the mainstream farm. At that point, the staff will work with them first doing mock sessions. We'll pretend to be a client. We'll pretend to have a session where we're using props and balls and some of the stuff that we'll use in therapy, or a particular challenge that an adaptive riding student might face. They do really well with all that. Then we'll start to introduce them to clients. And if they pass through all of that, at the end of the 30 days, they're accepted into the mainstream herd.
How did Take the Reins program get started?
Take the Reins program was started in 2015 as a result of the needs of the veterans in our community, and their through PATH, which is the Professional Organization of Therapeutic Horsemanship, have been doing a growing outreach to veteran communities through equine facilitated psychotherapy as well as adaptive riding. And we realized that in our community here there was a need for such a program. And that was really the genesis of feeling like we had something to offer the community and putting our resources together to reach out.
Yeah, a lot of vets come back with problems.
To be able to feel a sense of community and step out a little bit from whatever challenges they might be having, either reintegrating or just going through daily life and feeling that sense maybe of isolation, not having a group where other veterans are meeting up together, that was something that we'd be able to offer.
So it's a sort of a group program?
It is a group program.
Several people would come at one time and socialize too?
All of the people who are coming to Take the Reins are all veterans themselves. Right. So they're all interacting. You know, some days you're more of the helper, and some days you're more the helped. And, you know, you have that opportunity to participate with the horses to help teach someone else. If you've been there a couple times and you know how to get the horse ready, you can teach someone who's brand new about getting the horses ready. So it's really an interactive program where the veterans are helping each other as well as helping themselves.
Mm-hmm. And can this help someone with PTSD?
It can. We've gotten really good feedback both from the Lions PTSD unit, who's come down for some day trips with us, that it's an experience of quiet. It's an experience of peacefulness. It's an experience of stress-free time where they can kind of leave a lot of what else is going behind, whether that's at the VA hospital or in their day-to-day life, and just be present. So it's sort of like mindfulness without the training.
Yeah, a lot of times I know it's different now when they come back, but when I came back from Nam, one day you're in a battlefield and 48 hours later you're in San Francisco International Airport, you know. Yep. And there was no, you know, readjustment, you know. And I think it had an effect on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Because if you're stateside, you're up in the morning at such and such a time, you eat such and such a time, you exercise such and such a time. You know, the whole day is pretty much
the structure.
You know, structured. And now they're throwing you back in society, and everything is not structured, you know. And it's kind of hard if you've been there for a couple of years doing this every day.
Yep.
To, you know, and if on top of that, if you've been in combat zones and stuff like that, and, you know, seen your friends lose a leg or an arm or whatever, that can have a tremendous effect on you.
And a lot of veterans that we've, you know, worked with said they gave us all the information about transition when we got back, but we weren't ready to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were happy to be back, and we just wanted to get back to our homes, and it's 6 months later that now it's like, where was that phone number?
Yeah.
Where is that contact person? Oh, I do have to go down to the VA and get my VA record straightened out. So a lot of times, you know, people are finding us later, whether they're mm-hmm. Vietnam vets or Korea vets, and saying, you know, I've been in the community for a long time, and, you know, I get along really well most days, but on Mondays when I get to come here, that's a really good part of my week.
Yeah. No, it's very helpful, I'm sure, you know. And what is the horse care program? Is that different than the Take the Reins, or is that part of Take the Reins?
That's part of Take the Reins, so that's one aspect. Veterans can interact with different parts of the program. So if they need one-on-one counseling to really deal with a PTSD issue and they want that one-on-one service, they can get that through Take the Reins program. The CARE program was looking at some aspects of dealing with stress and isolation and doing that through working with the horses. The adaptive riding part is a portion of that. So, you know, getting on the horses, getting to experience the movement of the horse, and learning some basic riding skills is another part of Take the Reins. So we've kind of been able to combine those so they get a well-rounded experience.
Okay.
While still being able to say, you know what, again, if you want that one-on-one counseling, we have that option for you as well.
Could you speak to the equine facilitated psychotherapy? That's a mouthful.
It is. It is. And it can definitely be a little bit of a...
I said it slow because I couldn't get it out.
It can be a little bit of a barrier for some people because it sounds really intense. Equine facilitated psychotherapy. Like, ooh, I don't know. So a lot of times we say, you know, it's with a counselor. So the counselor is working with the person that's receiving the service, in this case a veteran, and the horses. And the horses are used to bring out metaphors and experiences for the veteran. The horses are a partner to have them experience feedback for them, their emotions. So if they come in and they're, you know, really angry that day, maybe something happened in the morning, they got stuck in traffic and they're late to their session, the horses are going to reflect back what's going on emotionally to someone. And then the counselor can step in and say, why do you think the horse did that? Why do you think those two horses are fighting? What are you seeing there? So the horses are kind of a mirror for sometimes something that we can't see when we're working with someone.
So when you say they're angry. I assume they don't get, the horses don't get angry when the angry rider gets on top of them. This is primarily mirroring so they can look at them.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That would not be a good combination.
It's a mirroring, but sometimes it might be, wow, why does your horse seem to be pulling the reins out of your hands today? Are you holding on to something too tightly? You know, is there something going on in your life that you're really holding back on? Because I notice, you know, every time you go around, your horse is pulling your reins out of your hands. What's going on with that? And then the person might open up and say, yeah, you know, there is this one thing that I really probably need to let go of. It happened last week. I got in an argument with my boss, and I keep ruminating about it. It keeps going, and you know, that might bring up something that wouldn't have come up in conversation otherwise.
So horses are very intuitive.
They can be, yeah.
Okay. Now the facilitated psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. In your pamphlet, Susan Nemeth?
Yep.
She's the one that does this?
Absolutely.
And how does... Don't take this wrong. How does vets react to her? I mean, because I know a lot of times vets can talk to other vets rather than talk to someone on the outside who's never experienced what they have.
Yep. And that's where the horses come in, because it's not about talking to Susan. It's about going out and experiencing what's going on with you with the horses. And Susan might ask a question. Why do you think that happened? What do you see going on between those horses? But it allows the veteran to process that and self-reflect without having to feel like they're telling a story again to some mental health professional.
So
a typical session then with this Susan would involve going, can you sort of walk through what had happened? They wouldn't just sit at a desk with her then.
No. So we'll meet out in the barn. Susan might ask them what's going on that day or what would they like to do with the horses. It's very self-directed. I mean, what do you feel like you need to get out of this today? Oh, I'd like to, you know, I want to spend some time out with the horses. I want to do some grooming. I want to do some leading with one of the horses. You know, I need to move my body. So generally, we would go out to the field and allow one of the horses to come to us to see which horse felt like interacting with us today, what horse might be drawn to what was going on. Or if the horses are kind of ignoring us, well, what does that mean? You know, same thing. What do you think? Why, you know, you wanted to work with Tink, but Tink walked away. What do you think might be going on with that? Is it the way you approached her? You know, so that allows some questioning to happen and the vet to self-reflect on what's going on. Of, yeah, maybe when I do approach people really quickly, they tend to move away from me. And maybe I'm seeing that in other social situations. You know, maybe I'm having that same issue with other people in my life of, you know, I'm really coming at them pretty quick and I'm noticing that people are withdrawing from me. So there's that opportunity to self-reflect of what's going on. And then the activity might be a grooming activity if they need something a little quieter that day. It might be a leading experience. Are they able to step into the role of leader? Are they able to make that decision about what they're going to do with the horse that day and give clear direction? Because that might be happening at home too. You know, maybe you're having really a hard time giving clear direction to your kids. It's causing a lot of challenge in your home relationship. You know, what are you feeling that you can't give direction? Do you not want to, you know, you just got home and you haven't spent a lot of time with your kids and you don't want to be like the boss? You want to be their friend? Well, you know, we're seeing that when you're leading the horse and now the horse is dragging you halfway across the yard to go eat grass, you know. Is there anywhere else in your life that's happening? Yeah, well, my kids don't listen to me either.
So in some ways, the horse is really a crutch to elicit, to get more out of the person than they would be willing to give, just as you said.
Or that the clinician might know to ask, you know.
Yeah.
It's a way
right.
to ask questions and let, you know, the person come out with their own explanation and their own answer. But it's not like you're directing the question at you or at that person. Mm-hmm. You know, why did you do that? It's why do you think the horse did it?
Mm-hmm. And do you also work with the herd behaviors with multiple horses?
So if we're bringing in or looking at a pasture of horses, you know, those interactions between horses. Who's the dominant one? Who's the submissive one? Who's the one always standing in the corner, and allowing the veteran to name what that symbolizes in their life? You know, are they always the one that stands in the corner? Are they always the one that's picking at someone else? You know, do they need to maybe mind their own business and find their own boundaries because they feel like they're always getting into something with someone else? A lot of times people will symbolically see what's going on in a herd, and it gives you a lot of insight into what's going on at home.
That stands for a lot more than vets, too.
It does. Sure.
I mean, when you sit there and think about it, you know, what you just said, and think back, it's, you don't have to be a vet to have fallen into that category, you know.
Nope, and Susan works with our Daytop program.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Okay, yeah. Now, is that Daytop the same as the one in Flemington that deals with addictions and such?
It's the same school system.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you can talk about it then. You could talk about it anyway. I just wanted to see if it was related to it, you know, because I've had Daytop on the radio in the past. So.
Yeah, so the teenagers who are having challenges with drug abuse and addiction come for a school program, and they come as a group, and they work with the horses as a group. And a lot of it is some of the same things that the veterans are dealing with, you know, setting boundaries. Are they able to set boundaries in their life? Are they able to set boundaries with the horses? Are they able to practice good self-care, and can they help take care of the horses? So using those same metaphors a lot of times can be very effective with, you know, teenage years and teenage challenges. And
I wouldn't know about that. So what do you do with Daytop then?
I actually do not work with Daytop. That is strictly with the counselor and also an equine specialist. So those are the two staff members that work with Daytop in the evening.
How do you broadcast that you have that?
Well, I have them in the on the website, but that is generally an ongoing program that we have with Daytop that is rather closed. They have a spring and a fall kind of session that they do.
Okay.
So it's kind of a closed.
I think with that, it's more reaching out to other schools that may have, you know, kids with similar challenges and saying, we've piloted this with Daytop, and now we're going into our third year with Daytop. It's been very successful for them. You know, is there another school out there that might see their students benefiting from a similar type of thing?
Okay. Is the equine assisted therapy the same as the facilitated psychotherapy?
So the psychotherapy is the mental health aspect, and the equine assisted therapy is your occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech language therapy.
Okay, and how do you go about doing that? Is it similar to what you were talking about earlier?
So our sessions for occupational therapy, physical therapy, or speech language therapy include our on-site clinic. So just like you would go to an outpatient clinic for therapy, we have a pediatric clinic on site, but what we have that most other places don't have is the horse. So part of the session is usually spent on the horse. So they're sitting on the horse, receiving that movement that we had talked about a little bit earlier from the horse. And then when they're in a really good state, whether that's physically they're in a good state, whether that's emotionally they're in a good state. For children with autism, often they have trouble with regulation.
Right.
So they're too excited or too calm, and it impairs their learning. When they're really regulated, that's when we're able to get off the horse and go into the clinic and practice something that they're going to need at school, something that they're going to need at home or with their peers.
You guys sent me something that I didn't quite understand, and it was, what is the right now and the dates? I don't understand what that was, so I'm going to ask, what is the right now and the dates?
So some of our programs are done in sessions, and some of our programs go all year round.
Okay.
So for our Take the Reins program, we'll have a spring session that starts on April 10th, and then we have a fall session that starts on September 11th. So the Take the Reins program for veterans, that's evolved a little bit since we've started it in 2015. So what is it right now? It's a collaborative group community event where the veterans are coming. They're spending time and interacting with the horses in addition to the one-on-one counseling, and that's going to run in two sessions. Our equine-assisted therapy runs all year round. It doesn't run in sessions. So anytime someone approaches us and says, you know, they'd like to get started, they want to start physical therapy, we take their application. We see them for a screening generally within a week, and they're generally placed with a regular appointment within 2 weeks.
Okay.
Can I get a question about Daytop? You said it had been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure the success?
So there's a variety of different factors to look at. Some can be behavioral incidents at school, because that's something that they're going to be tracking anyway. So if students are having a decrease in behavioral incidents, we want to know, is that happening just during the program, or is there carryover after that? You know, are they able to keep their behavioral incidents down? How well are they able to translate the principles of the program that we're working with them on, such as setting boundaries, self-control? How well are they able to transition those back into maybe what they have set up in their IEP? Are they able to then take some of those principles, and are their teachers able to see them interacting in that way and using the things that they got, as well as self-report? You know, these are teenagers. These are teenagers that are able to tell us that this was meaningful to them, or, yeah, they'd rather not come, you know.
Do you work with adults who have addiction problems? Could the horses be helpful to them?
They absolutely could, and that would probably fall more into the one-on-one counseling sessions. We don't have any adults that we're working with currently, but we do have openings, basically, if someone had an interest.
Same thing with mental health issues, too?
Correct. Yep.
Any of those diagnoses.
Because the horses are so flexible in what they can offer, really the sessions are very tailored to what someone's challenge is. And sometimes the challenge that you think you're having, you know, you have a particular diagnosis and you think that there's a certain challenge that's going on with that, and you come and you start working with us and you start working with the horses and you find out, you know, yes, your one symptom is a challenge, but you know what? You're getting so much more out of it for something else that you're seeing a huge benefit in your day-to-day life that you never expected, you know, was something that you were struggling with.
Would you speak a little bit about the Camp Week for Veterans Children?
So we have funding this year to provide a whole week of summer camp for any children of veterans in the area. So they just need to send in a camp application to us, and we will work on getting them into our summer camp. Our summer camp includes horseback riding lessons, summer camp and crafts. It's a half-day camp, so from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m., and we're looking for at least 10 veterans' children to participate.
And the veterans' children don't have to be children of veterans who are in the program that you
Correct.
Already have, right?
It could be any veterans in the community.
Okay.
Is that a new program, or have you been doing that for a while?
This is actually our first year that we've had funding to offer this.
And we do have an open house that is on April 9th from 10 to 3, so families can come out and they can get an idea of what different activities will be at camp as well.
So, okay.
Yeah.
When was that?
That's April 9th from 10 to 3, and it's a Sunday.
Okay, and why don't you give the address of your farm so people would know where to go?
Certainly. We do have a website. It's www.manestreanj.org, and our address is 83 Old Turnpike Road, and that's in Oldwick. And it's 08858.
Okay. 83 Old Turnpike Road, Oldwick, 08858, right?
That's correct.
And what about a phone number for someone who wants to call?
That is 908-439-9636.
Okay. Is there a course to the camp week?
Not for veterans' children.
Okay.
For our the camp the rest of the time, for our special needs students and those in our able-bodied population, there is a cost.
Do you take insurance or anything like that?
for our occupational therapy, physical therapy, or speech-language therapy, if they have out-of-network benefits, we do help facilitate the process to receive insurance reimbursement.
Okay.
An additional note.
Sure.
Our
Go ahead.
Camp is DDD approved and also Perform Care approved, so parents who have special needs children will be excited to hear that as well.
Right, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
Do you have any other, so you have other camps too then during the summer,
mm-hmm.
just in general?
We have 8 weeks of camp.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a few of those weeks are for the kind of horse crazy child in your family. Someone who really loves horses. So we take from beginners all the way up to more advanced riders.
And they're usually 1 week programs? Or
yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Could you speak a little bit about Horses for Healing?
Sure. Horses for Healing is an adaptive riding program for people who have been impacted by cancer. So that could be a cancer survivor, it could be their caregiver, or it could be somebody who's currently undergoing treatment. And they come out to the barn for an hour a week for a riding lesson. And again, that group is supported by volunteers who have been impacted by cancer themselves. So many of them are cancer survivors and have a similar experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you have these folks all coming out and so on and so forth, do you have them, like, groom the horses at all or feed the horses? Is that all part of it, or do you have staff that does that?
Generally, most of these programs involve having the participants groom the horses, get them ready. So they get some time to bond with the horse. They get some time to interact with the horse. It's not just about getting on and riding. They get so much more out of it by spending that time with the horse. And being able to care for something other than being the recipient of care, especially if you've been sick with cancer, you feel like everyone's always taking care of you. Everyone's asking you how you are. And this is their chance to take care of someone else. This is their chance to step into a role and make the horses feel good. You know, give them a really good brush. Spend some time with them. Make sure that the horses are feeling well. And if they don't feel up to riding today, they can just spend that time in the barn interacting with the horses.
Hmm. You talked about volunteers. Could I, what, in general, do you need a lot of volunteers? How do you use them? That kind of thing.
We are always looking for volunteers. We do have orientations and trainings throughout the year, and those dates are usually located on the website. Most of the time, our volunteers are getting the horses, grooming them, tacking them, and then transporting them or warming them up to get ready for either the lessons or the therapy sessions. They also lead the horses and sidewalk. Sidewalkers are the people who are on either side of the horse, ensuring that the client or participant is safe.
Yes, I noticed in your video a lot of times there may be four or five people surrounding the horse when they go out.
That would probably be a therapy session.
Uh-huh.
You will have a longliner who's got the long reins, and they're sort of leading from behind, correct? And you have a header at the front, and you may have the therapist and a sidewalker, one on either side.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. That's just, you know. I know that you also, people can donate tack for sale. You want to explain what a tack is? For those of us who are ignorant,
it's not a thumbtack.
It's not a thumbtack. I figured that out.
Tack is all of the equipment needed for taking care of a horse and/or riding a horse. So we use saddles, stirrups, reins, you know, bridles, halters. So our tack sale we have is twice a year. We have a spring one and a fall one, and we're always looking for basically anything horse related. It can be apparel, it can be jewelry, whatever.
When you say for sale, are you talking about people bringing these in so you can sell them?
Whatever,
is that what it is?
Yes. Whatever. Okay. We do not need for our program, because you know, we may need new reins or a new bridle or halter or whatever. But whatever we do not need for our horses and our programs, then we would put into the sale.
Okay.
And then all the proceeds from that go back directly into our programs.
Okay. What is a shoes for shoes?
Shoes
you're
for
talking
shoes.
About horseshoes, I'm assuming.
Yes.
See how fast I pick up on that?
That is something we do all year long. We ask the local communities to bring in their gently used shoes, shoes that you are no longer using, and then we box them up and send them to a company that ships them all over the world. So these are not shoes that are going to be recycled. That's why they need to be gently used, mm-hmm. so they can actually be worn by people in need around the world. We receive 50 cents a pound for these shoes, and then that helps to offset our farrier bills.
Just out of curiosity, how much does a horseshoe weigh? Roughly. I mean, do you have any idea?
Probably a couple ounces.
Is that right? It just looks so much bigger, you know, heavier.
Depends on the size of the horse.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just curious. I just, you know. What events do you have coming up? I know you have some events coming up, right?
Yes. We said the open house is on Sunday, the April 9th. We have our tax sale, which is the day before. So that's Saturday the 8th. And that's from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And the line does start forming before 8 o'clock for that tax sale because it's known far and wide. We also have our Boot Scootin' Barbecue, and that is our casual.
Whoa, time out. What was that again?
Yeah, really.
The Boot Scootin' Barbecue.
Boot Scootin'.
That's our big bash of the year. It's held outside under tents, and it's one of our big fundraisers. So it's a casual event. You wear your blue jeans and boots and have a blast with good food and DJ dancing all night long, and it's a lot of fun.
When is that?
That is May 20th, and it's from 6 to 11 p.m.
And it's at your farm?
It is actually hosted at Redtail Farm in Bedminster Township.
Redtail Farm?
Redtail Farm.
In Bedminster?
Yes. Everything is on our website. We'll be selling tickets for this event on the website as well, and we have opportunities for sponsorships. We're also looking for auction items. We have a great silent auction that night, and so if any local businesses are interested in donating items, you know, they can go online mm-hmm. and contact us.
Why don't you give the email? We've got about, I don't know, 5 minutes left. Why don't you give the phone number again and the email and website?
Okay. Our phone number, that's Mainstream, and it's 908-439-9636. Our website is mainstreamnj.org, and our email address is info@mainstreamnj.org.
And if someone just wanted to send you a check, they could do that too, right?
That'd make our day.
They can. We do have a different mailing address from our location, and that mailing address is P.O. Box 305, Oldwick, New Jersey, 08858.
So if someone wanted to make a donation by check or whatever, they would send it to the P.O. Box.
Exactly.
P.O. Box 305?
That's right.
And it would just be P.O. Box 305, Oldwick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the zip code is 08858.
Correct.
Well, I'm good at reading. you don't think I remembered all that, do you?
If we have a minute or two left, can you think of some kind of an emotional success story, maybe, or something?
I think one story that comes to mind for me is a young lady who was really having some challenges at home. She wasn't able to successfully go to school every day because of some of her challenges. And over time, she started in our adaptive writing program, and that sense of being able to master a skill when she couldn't always master her own emotions allowed her to start to gain a sense of control over her life. It started to be able to impact her in attending school more, and got to the point where she was able to then go ahead and volunteer. So she went from being the recipient of a service to being a helper mm-hmm. of a service. Yeah. So that, I think, is probably going to be very life-changing, you know, as she gets older and can look back and say, you know, went through some really rough times and I wasn't always, you know, in control of what was going on in my life. But through these interactions, through learning some skills and being able to accomplish challenges, you know, I was able to do this, and now I have something to give to other people.
Yeah, that's great. You really do wonderful work.
Yes, you do.
And thank you.
I mean that, you know. Just one more thing. If anybody wants to reach out, their phone number is
408-435.
439. I'm sorry. I can't read here. 9636?
Exactly.
Okay. That's 439-9636-908. And what else we got? Email? You can give them the email again if they have to want to reach out.
The email is info@mainstreamnj.org.
Well, I can't thank you ladies enough. Louisa, Gina, thank you so much for coming. I will have you back. You will come back.
You know, thank you for
if I have
us.
To go to Oldwick and drag you back, you know, you will come back. Because I think, you know, what you do is so wonderful. You know, it's not only one designated area you treat. You treat a whole wide scope of various illnesses and people and so on and so forth. And, you know, so I think it's wonderful. And, you know, we will have you back. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come and see us. And say hello to Tom's daughter for me. I've never met her, I mean, but, you know. And we'll be back again next week. This is the first week we're in our new studio for a while. And so if you hear some banging in the background and stuff, that was they're fixing the building up. But we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. Take care. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Rob Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We will face many challenges, but with the faith in each other and the faith in God, we will get the job done.
President Trump speaking to senior White House staffers about the obligations they have to serve the country.
Public service is a high and great calling. It's our solemn duty together to protect the country, our country, this great, great country, to defend its workers and promote the well-being of all Americans.
President Trump not only speaking to his senior White House staff, he's also speaking to business leaders about the importance of keeping jobs in America.
We want to start making our products again. We don't want to bring them in. We want to make them here. And that doesn't mean we don't trade, because we do trade. But we want to make our products here.
Police in San Antonio say a second suspect is now in custody in the deadly shooting at a shopping mall yesterday. USA Radio News.
You love your pet, right? So imagine if you were suddenly faced with thousands of dollars in veterinary care. What would you do? Could you make the difficult decision not to help your best friend? If you join PetSavingsUSA.com, you never have to make that choice or face those kind of expenses. That's because PetSavingsUSA members enjoy discounted pet insurance to cover both standard and emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love the money you'll save, the convenience you'll enjoy, and the peace of mind knowing your beloved pet is fully protected. Call now to take advantage of 2 free months of pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings. Call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com. Call or click now for your free gift, plus 2 free months of pet insurance. Call 877-835-6060 or visit PetSavingsUSA.com.
I will be talking to Donald Trump about the issues that we share, about how we can build on this special relationship. It's the special relationship that also enables us to say when we do find things unacceptable.
British Prime Minister Theresa May speaking to BBC One about relations with Donald Trump. She says she will be speaking to him about NATO and the importance of NATO to the European continent. New York Senator Chuck Schumer spoke with ABC's This Week about the Women's March in D.C., downplaying comments made by celebrities like Madonna, where she said she wanted to blow up the White House. He said he didn't see any celebrities.
I don't agree with those comments, but the celebrities don't matter in this march. I marched in New York. I saw hundreds of thousands of people. I didn't see a single celebrity. I saw average people, men and women, worried about women's health.
The Supreme Court has denied an appeal by Texas over its voter ID law. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote today there's no point to looking at the case now because the district court has yet to enter a final judgment. More news online at usaradio.com.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A major beer manufacturer has announced a recall because glass could get inside the bottles. Correspondent Chris Barnes has more.
Sierra Nevada Brewing is recalling bottled beer in about three dozen states in the District of Columbia as some 12-ounce bottles have a flaw that could allow glass to break and fall into the bottle. The recall involves Pale Ale and seven other varieties bottled from early December through